Father, I love you, Lord, this morning. I know your children love you as well because you first loved us. Glory to God. Thank you for the great, exceeding, and precious promises that you have given us, O Lord. We thank you for the relationship that we enjoy in you. Hallelujah. That we should be called the sons of God. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, for the times that we are living in. It pleased you to call us forth at this time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the entrance of your word, we declare, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, Lord, let that light shine our hearts today, giving revelation and understanding. Will cause our hearts to know and to understand what the Lord is saying at this time, even to the church. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we have been on this series of getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Be ye also ready. The coming of the Lord is near. Today will be part 7. And what I want to talk about today is just share some stories of people in the scriptures that may have started well, but did not end well, or, you know, did a lot of good, but they were not exactly perfect, not walk with a perfect heart before the Lord. And so on and so forth. And what does that mean to us at the end of the age? Jesus himself warned. We're going to start with the warnings of our Lord. You know, so that's where we're going to start. And then we'll look at some of these examples in the scriptures. Because in preparing for the coming of the Lord, it's important. Yesterday we talked about returning to our first love. Well, it's important not only to start the race well, but to finish strong in the Lord. Glory to God. So here's how Jesus himself warned, you know, of the things, you know, that should, at the end of the age, he said, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Matthew 24 and verse 13. So, if we start with that lesson, we see that it's not just starting the race, you know, that's important. Or how we start the race, more so, it's how we finish. There are many lessons in the Bible that tell us that the end is actually more important than the beginning. You know, we may start out well, but then if we fall away or drop backwards or whatever, then that may not be a good story to tell for that person. There are many, even the children of Israel, were told that the same God, you know, that brought them out afterwards, destroyed many of them because their hearts did not stay with the Lord. You know, he said, "Moreover, my brethren," 1 Corinthians 10, "I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the Red Sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, did all drink of that spiritual drink, and They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. However, with many of them, God was not well pleased. But they were overthrown in the wilderness now. Now, that's a sad, very, very sad story. God brought them out with a mighty and high hand and had a purpose for them, you know, to go to the promised land and enjoy, you know, after hundreds of years in captivity, in slavery, in oppression. God said, it's time. And nevertheless, the same God brought them out, you know, afterward destroyed them that believed not, because they did not continue in the purpose of God. Now, that's a, you know, that's a very sad story as far as I can see. There are many other, you know, stories like that in the Bible, where people, you know, started out with God well, and then somewhere along the way, they fell back, or they were not as steadfast as when they started out. I pray, even as we get into these lessons today, that there will be an awakening, that we would not fall after the same pattern of those people that were classified as starters, but not finishers. Now, the Lord grant us the grace, every one of us that has started this race, to also finish strong. In the book of Jude, you know, chapter 1, we read these lessons, you know, about certain situations as well. I will therefore put you in remembrance, he said, verse 5 of Jude. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, that's a very, very sad story. And that tells, you know, those people that say, well, you know, once saved, forever saved, once this and all of that. Well, be careful now. Paul warned, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We must be diligent every day, maintain an integrity of our heart before the Lord, you know. And the people of God, especially, the devil is waging war against our minds, you know, try to get us away from the truth of the gospel, either through religious beliefs that hold no water, or are contrary to scriptures, or are even outright false doctrine, or, you know, half-truths. Now, half-truths can be very dangerous, you know. A little this, a little that, just mingle it all together. Remember, Jesus warned, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, so it wasn't entirely all the way evil, that tree in the garden. It was the knowledge of good and evil. A little of this, a little of that. That's dangerous stuff. You know, Jesus told parables, you know, of this mixture, and he warned about it. You know, parables of the dragnet. He said, well, kingdom of God is like you cast the net into the sea and catch all kinds of fish. Then once you bring them to the shore, you start to sift through it. You keep the good and you throw the bad away. But yet it was the same net that pulled them all in. You know, so this is very interesting for us and serious for us consider. In Matthew chapter 13, many parables that gave these two sides of the story. There's one called Parable of the Leaven. Now, some people think that this is a good thing. But leaven is never a good thing in the scriptures. Jesus referred to it as the leaven of the Pharisees. We're warned to purge out, therefore, the old leaven. So everywhere in the scriptures where the Bible talks about leaven, it's never a good thing. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7, urges us to purge out the old leaven. It's never a good thing. So this story in Matthew chapter 13 about the leaven is not a good story. This is not the kingdom of God spreading and gaining ground. This is evil within the kingdom spreading and gaining ground. This is the way Jesus told it. He actually did not expand upon it. He just couched it and left it there. Another parable spake he unto them. Matthew 13 and 33. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took. Now this is an evil woman. And hid it, you know, in three measures of meal. The hiding part is stealth, you know. Don't put it out in open, just hide it. Mix it up until the whole was leavened. It's not a good thing. And, you know, that means that this is how evil infiltrates the kingdom. Weaken the minds of the people and get them to follow either false doctrine, you know, or something else. Many false doctrines in the book of Revelation talks about doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which started out as, you know, the deeds of the Nicolaitans at one time, then later become doctrine. You know, we have doctrine of Balaam, Balak, Jezebel, all these things. Yeah, coming to the church causes, you know, he said, well, causing the good people of God to, you know, commit fornication and do things. Well, that means going after strange gods. That means leaving the way of righteousness and then going headlong into the way of evil. But it doesn't look headlong at first. It's a sinister, very sneaky poison that the devil serves is not served with a bottle labeled poison. It's like leaven. It's mixed up in the meal and then served. A little poison in the food, the whole food is poisoned. You know, so it's important for us to examine ourselves. What exactly do you believe, you know? There may be a little poison, a little leaven here and there that causes us to, you know, falter in our faith and our stand with God. And, you know, it's not going to matter too much how a person started if he ends up in false doctrine or apostasy. Remember, Judas was one of the apostles that Jesus even sent out, and he did miracles just like the rest of the apostles. They all came back and said, you know, the devils are subject to us and all these things. And Judas was one of them. And he was one of the people that sat with Jesus, you know, teaching and everything. And he was right part of it. We know that his whole story was unique because he was appointed unto perdition. We know that. You know, Jesus needed somebody to betray him. But it does illustrate, you know, this point that, you know, just starting out, you know, doesn't mean that the end is going to be that way, you know, that the person started. So it's important for us, you know, to, you know, end well. Let me read some things in Ezekiel chapter 18. Then I am going to go and tell some stories. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, the Lord says, you know, if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, this is Ezekiel 18 and 21, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, then he shall surely live and he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, it shall not even be mentioned unto him. And in his righteousness that he had done, shall he live. So if you turn from wickedness to righteousness, let the wicked forsake his ways, let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, you know, and our God will abundantly pardon. You know, if a wicked man turns around, comes to Christ, his wickedness will not even be mentioned. God will forgive, and he'll give him a clean state. Slate and all his, you know, say, I mean, unrighteousness, God will not even remember. The Lord said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Said the Lord. I mean, does not the Lord want him that he should return from his ways and live? This is God's will. Doesn't want any. So the wicked that turns around, God will cleanse them and not even we mentioning the wickedness again. However, on the other hand, when the righteous, this is verse 24 now of Ezekiel 18, Lord puts out both sides. When the righteous also turn away from their righteousness and go back to sin, well, and do according to all the abominations of the wicked man, shall he live? Of course not. That all his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. Same thing for the unrighteous. The righteous man forsake his ways, come to the Lord. There will be, you know, forgiveness, cleansing, and his unrighteousness will no longer be mentioned. Now, if the righteous man forsake his righteousness and go back to sin and die in that state, well, even his righteousness which he has done shall not be mentioned. It is clearly here. So it's not how we start out, but the ending is more important. All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Yet he say, well, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your own ways unequal? Now, the Lord is going to plead with them here and explain it. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and goes back to iniquity and dieth in them, well, for the iniquity that he has done shall he die. But also the wicked, if he turned away from his wickedness that he had committed and turned to a life of righteousness in Christ, well, then he shall live. So, the point here is that it's not the way that we start, but how it goes through the end that is most critical. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, there was a lot of good people in the Bible that started out well, but did not end well. And their stories are in the Bible for us to consider at the end of the age, as we are preparing for the coming of the Lord. You know, it's not, look, I gave my life to Christ in 1980-something or 70-something. I received the Holy Ghost in 1990-something or 70-something. You know, this and that and so forth. Well, that's good. You know, but what about now? You know, are we keeping the faith? Are we walking in the ways of the Lord still? It's not, you know, what was done then, but what is your next move? Your next move, the next thing is what counts. If your heart today continues to follow after the Lord, you continue to seek after Him and serve Him with all your heart, then it's good. But if your heart turn away from the Lord, despite the fact that you had at one time sought the Lord with all your heart, today, if you're not seeking the Lord with all your heart, well, the end state is what counts. There are a lot of people that God loved in the Bible and called them unto Himself. And He showed us many of these stories. But unfortunately, some of their stories were not very edifying. One such story that comes to mind was Solomon. I mean, Solomon was a man that God actually loved. Loved him dearly because of David, his father. Unfortunately, this Solomon, when he was old, well, his heart turned away from the Lord. Why? Well, because he gathered unto himself many strange women, which he knew not to do. God, the Lord warned them, don't marry these wives from these hidden lands. They're going to bring in their gods and going to turn your heart away. Yeah, but this man, he didn't listen. You know, so he loved many strange women. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 11. Horrible story. This was a man that God loved. And then God asked him, you know, tell me, ask me. I mean, God told him, ask me anything, anything at all. And he asked the right thing. He asked for wisdom. I'm a little boy. How can I lead this, your great people? And give me wisdom. He did not even ask for riches. He did not even ask for the life of his enemies. And the Lord looked at him and loved him and said, my goodness, this man, because you have asked for wisdom in the, you know, keeping my charge over my house, and you have not asked for this and that, I'm going to give you the wisdom and then all those other things as well. And so the Lord blessed him tremendously. The Lord favored him. You know his story. But did he stay in the way of the Lord? No. You know, David, his father, you know, walked with a heart before the Lord. He had his own downfall in a moment in his life, but he turned to God with repentance, and the Lord forgave him. This Solomon guy, he loved many strange women. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites. These were all the people that they were told to destroy and not partner with them in any way. No, his heart went after all these women. Now, those women were beautiful women, and his heart lusted after all those things, you know, and of which the Lord has said to the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for they will surely turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. I mean, I can't even imagine this Solomon man. How can somebody have 700 wives? I mean, are you kidding me? Princesses, 300 concubines. My goodness. This is an absolute apostasy. You know, this man did. Anyway, you know, it came to pass, we're told, that when Solomon was old, this is verse 4, 1 Kings 11, that all his wives, all these strange women, turned his heart after their gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. But Solomon went a-whoring after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and all these other abominations of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Now this was Solomon that built an house unto the Lord. I mean, this was Solomon who prayed, you know, and did all kinds of things, glory of God, coming down with the priests and, you know, and so forth. This was Solomon mighty, you know, in these things of God at first, but at the end, it was foolish, you know. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because he did all these things like his strange wives, born interests and sacrificing to their gods. God was angry with Solomon because his heart was torn from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after these gods, these other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment, my statutes, and my charge, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, for David your father's sake, I will not do it immediately in your days, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. You know, and so forth. But I'm going to keep something for David, my servant, because of David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. The Lord stirred up also adversaries unto Solomon to bring judgment against him, and so on. Now, you can see how, you know, horribly his state was at the end. You know, many stories like that. Here are some other stories. Many kings, there were some mighty kings and some little kings. There were the kings of Judah, the prophets that were with them at the time also, the kings of Israel, the prophets that were in their days. And for the most part, the kings of Judah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, for the most part. But the kings of Israel, once the kingdom was divided, for the most part, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the scripture always reported them in the book of Samuel, the story of some of the kings, in the book of the Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, story of some of the kings, in the book of Chronicles, some of these stories are there. And the Bible would tell the story in one place and said, well, are not the rest of the acts of this man, first and last, written in the Chronicles? If you're reading the Kings, then it points you to the Chronicles and so forth, you know, vice versa. So there was this man in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, one of the kings, you know, who started out, you know, were doing the right thing. The kings of Judah. His name was Amaziah. He was only 25 years old when he began to reign. You know, and he reigned for 29 years until he was age 54. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. So I'm reading from 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. Reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But there was a comma there. But not with a perfect heart. You know? Well, came to pass when the kingdom was established unto him that he slew his servants that killed the king, his father, but he slew not their children, you know, because he was remembering what he said, that the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers. You know, and he did a lot of things, many of his stories later on, but it was summarized at the beginning. I'm not going to read all his stories. What I want to point out was that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And remember, in this series, multiple days, we talked about walking with God with a perfect heart, how God called Abraham and spoke to him after 24 years that he had been walking with him. He said, and, you know, God called him first in Genesis 12. And, you know, when he was around 75, God began to give him some wonderful promises. And when he was 99 years old in Genesis 17, God was still challenging him to be perfect. I am Almighty God, he told him, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. After 25 years almost of walking with God. You know, so we see we had spoken about this perfection. Today I'm bringing you stories of people who actually started out well, but yeah, their heart was not fully right with the Lord. And it's always a sad story when there is such an ending like that. You know, now, one of the best examples of that story or such a story was Asa, who was one of the great-grandchildren of David. He also was a man that, my goodness, I mean, started out incredibly right with the Lord. Some of his stories are contained in the book of Kings, chapter 15, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14 through 16. I mean, many of his stories are there. The great things that he did, you know, and how he started out, but also the sad ending of his story was there as well. So let's consider, you know, some of the things that he did at the beginning. Now, why are we saying this? Well, this is to warn us that in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, such as we are now, you know, we must be careful to maintain a good start until the end. And, you know, if we fall away at the end, the beginning, the good that was in the beginning will not count. So it's important for us, you know, keep the faith steadfast until the end. This man, Asa, you know, God really prospered him, and he had a heart, you know, to do that which was right. Second Chronicles, some of his stories in 1 Kings 15 as well, but let me read 2 Chronicles. You know, after Abijah slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his son reigned in his stead. You know, in those days, you know, it was always, you know, the son that there wasn't any voting and so on. The king's son would replace him. So this man, Asa, reigned in his father's stead after his father died. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Now look at all the things he did. He took away all the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Took away out of the city of Judah all the high places where people burnt images to other gods. And the kingdom was quiet before him. And my goodness, the Lord gave him rest on every side. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, when such a man starts out right and is doing things right in the eyes of the Lord, well, God was even favoring him and blessing him with peace. And he did even more things. You know, he said, well, you know, now that God's given us peace, you know, let's build, let's strengthen ourselves, let's do all of these things. And he did these things. And God was with him. And there were many things that the Lord did for him. The prophet of the Lord even came to him, told him that, look, as long as you are with God, God will be with you and will bless you and do all these things. You know, so let's read some of the, you know, some of the things that he did, how he removed Queen Mother even. Says it's, you know, he called him his mother, but it was actually, I think it was his grandmother. But anyway, let's read this story in 1 Kings chapter 15. All the good works, you know, that this man did when he came into the throne. He would have no part of evil at first. You know, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he removed not only the high places and so forth. He removed also anything in the palace, you know, that was even offending. So let's read 1 Kings chapter 15. I mean, I read around verse 13 or so. Find it here. Okay. Now, this man, let me read it from verse 9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa reigned over Judah. 41 years reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micah, this and this and this. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites. This man didn't care for all the, you know, homosexuality and all those things that were going on. Clean them out. You know, I mean, cleaned house. Took away the Sodomites out of the land. Removed all the idols that his father has set up. And also his mother, yeah, which was actually, I think his grandmother was there before him, removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol, burnt it, you know, in the brook, and did all these things. And listen to this. The high places, though, were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. At the beginning, it wasn't quite like that at the end. And if this was all you read and you didn't read some of the other accounts, you would have thought that this man did good all his days till the end. But that was not the case. You go over to, you know, because he said, well, are not the rest of his acts, you know, written in the books of Chronicles and so forth? Okay, well, so we go over to the book of Chronicles and we read some of his stories, you know, because he said the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might that he did, the cities he built, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Well, okay. So then we go over. Since we are being directed to go read the rest of his acts, so we go over to the book of Chronicles and read the rest of his acts there. But when we get there, we do not find, you know, a good ending. Three chapters there, 14, 15, and 16. You can read the stories of Asa. And some of the things that are in the chapter of Kings, also repeated here, all the good things he did at first, you know. And then there was a, in chapter 15, there was a man of God called Azariah, son of Oded, that went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, for a long season, Israel had not been, I mean, had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law, you know, for a long time. You know, but every time they were in trouble, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord had mercy on them. Now, in those days, there was no peace to him that went out and in and so forth. And there was trouble everywhere. Nation was rising up against nation and doing all these things. So the Lord gave them this word, "Be strong, let your hands be not weak. You know, turn to the Lord and these things, and do that which is right, and the Lord will help you." And Asa heard these words, and he took heart, put away the abominable idols of the land. This part, we were not told that it was a prophet that spoke to him in the Kings. So you have to read all of it. And he did all these things that he did. And the Lord his God was with him, you know, and he prospered. And they gathered themselves the third month, the 15th year of the reign of Asa, offered unto the Lord many things. And everything was good. Now, they also entered into a covenant. This man, Asa, made them enter into covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Can you imagine a king that would do that? You know, that whosoever, and he said, made a law, if anyone would not seek the Lord, God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, or whether man or woman. And they all swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with comets. Now, this was Asa in his prime. Second Chronicles chapter 15, you know, verses 14 now. "And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. They swore with their heart. They sought the Lord with their whole heart. The Lord was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest all about." Now, Asa was leading the charge. You know, and he did a lot of good stuff. Now, but is that how it ended? Unfortunately, no. That's not how it ended. So along the way, his heart started to turn. He started to make a league with the people that God told him not to make a league with. You know, God had helped him in the past to win fights against Egypt or this and that and so on. You know, but then he had another fight coming, and he made a league with people God told him not to make a league with. I'm trying to abbreviate this story and move on. And there was a seer that came to him that challenged him because of what he did. Reminded him of how God had helped him in the past when he trusted the Lord. "Now, why are you not trusting the Lord now? Why are you going to lean on the hands of, you know, wicked people to help you?" So in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, let's read verse 7. "And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because this time around thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Now, therefore is the host of king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubians a large host, many chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord in those cases, the Lord delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose hearts perfect toward it. Now, but in this time around, you have done foolishly, you know. Therefore, from henceforth, you will have wars. All your time of peace is ended because your heart has gone after, you know, the arm of man rather than the arm of the Lord." Now, you can see how subtle, you know, things can change. He trusted in the Lord. God gave him victory. This time around, he sought for help somewhere else. God was not happy with that. And he sent a prophet to rebuke him. But instead of listening to the prophet, like the first time he listened to the Azariah man, and this time around, he was angry. Why should you come here and tell me something? Asa was wroth with his seer in verse 10, and he put him in prison. Now, this was the beginning of his downfall. You know, go out against the word of the Lord like that. Well, that was pride in his heart. He would not humble his heart against, you know, when he heard the word of rebuke. Instead of humbling his heart before the Lord, his heart was lifted up, took the prophet that prophesied that thing, put him in prison. And that's not how it ended. You know, from there, he started to oppress his own people too. You know, put him in prison, was in a rage because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of his own people at the time. So he just started going downhill. This was a man that started out great, you know, destroyed Sodomites, destroyed abomination in the kingdom, got rid of his mother or grandmother, got rid of all of them, got them out of there and so forth. Now, the acts of this man, first and last, this one, so that's a cross reference here. Kings points us here. This one also points us back to Kings. And, you know, but you see, it did not end well with him. He turned his heart against the word of the Lord and even against the people of the Lord. And he began to oppress them and do all manner of evil, you know. And this same chapter, we're told that he died of a severe disease in his feet. I think it was Graves' disease. In Second Chronicles chapter 16, if you read in verse 12, we read that he was diseased at the end in his feet, you know, and it was a very serious disease. The 39th year of his reign, he was diseased in his feet, and his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. This was a man that cleaved to the Lord at the beginning, so loved the word of the Lord, hearkened and trembled at his word, and put away all the evil. And it was the end. He hated the word of the Lord, threw a prophet in prison, started to oppress his people. When he was sick, he wouldn't even turn to the Lord. I mean, it was just went downhill, you know, and so on. You know, so these stories, I just wanted to call out. Tell us that, look, just because they started out well, doesn't mean they ended well. And it is important, you know, that as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, we examine ourselves, you know, and, you know, Paul, Jesus, they all told us it's not him that starts out the race, but he that finishes it. And even when you are trying to finish the race, well, you got to finish it according to the rules. You know, if you don't, you know, you might be disqualified. Now, the word of the Lord unto us today is to tell us that, look, yes, we've started the race and it's a good thing, but keep on the race, you know, and stay within the rules. Run your race with patience. You know, and keep your hearts on the Lord in everything so that the Lord will give you that commendation at the end. You know, so when we start a race, there are many people that run in the race, but it's not everybody that is crowned First Corinthians chapter 9 tells us, don't you know that many people run in a race, as verse 24, you know, but not every one of them is crowned. And so he gives us instructions, you know, on how to run the race so that you can be crowned. And, you know, I'm telling us today by the Spirit of the Lord, in order for you to be crowned, it's not just that you started the race, but you must end the race, end it well, and you must have run the race within the rules. God privileged me, you know, to have done track and field when I was a young man, so it helped me to understand some of these things. There are rules. You know, you strive, but you must do it according to the rules. If you don't do it according to the rules, well, you might be disqualified. Even when you think you cross the finish line and you are rejoicing, you may still be disqualified. So, Paul warns us, you know, that we must run the race. Run your race diligently. Don't beat the air and, you know, and so forth. Run a targeted race. But at the same time, you know, if you don't run lawfully, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, verse 5, it tells you, if you are running, say, if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So, if you break the rules, you won't get the crown. And if you don't finish the race, you won't get the crown. And this journey that we're on is not a sprint. It's more like an obstacle course race over many, many miles. You know, like a marathon that's, they throw all kinds of obstacles in it. You climb this, you jump that, you wade through water, you do this, you do that. It's not a sprint, like 100 meters. You just do it in 10 seconds and you're over. No. It's a, you know, long, drag-out journey. And Paul says here to Timothy, he is warning him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, you know, you strive for masteries, that's athlete, that's sports people and so forth. But if you don't do it according to the rules, you will be disqualified. Now, one of the rules of engagement here that we are talking about today is endure to the end. That's the rule that we're talking about today. So all these people that started out well, that did not end well, it didn't end well with them. And so God is warning us as we are approaching the coming of the Lord. You know, we can't rest on our oars and say, well, you know, I did this and I did that in the past. So what? Jesus said, return to your first love. We did that yesterday. And this is a companion message to that, to let you know that the people who don't return, you know, may lose the seat at the table. So, now that we are closer to the coming of the Lord than when we first believed, we need to examine ourselves whether we remain in the faith, whether our heart is still with the Lord our God. What shall be said of us at the end? Will it be said that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but yet his heart was not perfect before the Lord his God? Or will it be said that he walked in the ways of the Lord with a perfect heart? You know, so perfection is something that the Lord demands. And doing 99% and being good, doing the things of, you know, walking in the ways of God, but not with a perfect heart, is not good enough. God wants and demands perfection. Matthew 5 and 48. He said we must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, how do we do that? Well, we can't, you know, but God is the beauty of perfection himself. I mean, the perfection of beauty. He is the one that is perfect in all his ways. He is the one that will help us. And he will help us. But we've got to lean on him for that help. Now, that means every day you must examine yourself. If today you allow your heart to stray away because of false doctrine, we need to be careful. There's a lot of false doctrine too. You know, there are many doctrines of, gospel of convenience these days. And, when the truth stings a little bit, you know, people pack it in and leave the Lord. And the Lord said, will you also go away? You know, and some who started, you know, end well. There was a man, you know, who was called Demas. At one time, he was a companion and yoke fellow of Paul in the gospel. And Paul was testifying, you know, when many people, you know, had left, you know, that Demas was with him. But later on, unfortunately, this same Demas also forsook and went and loved the world. The story of Demas is a sad one. Started out good, you know, but at the end, did not end well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul would say that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is now departed. You know, so starting, you know, well and not finishing well does not write a good story in the book of Philemon and Colossians, different places like that. You know, Paul referred to Demas as one of his fellow people that were with him. Colossians 4 and verse 14. Look, the beloved physician and Demas send you his greetings. Philemon chapter 1 verse 24. You know, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers, greet you. I mean, all this time, you know, Demas was doing a good thing and being there doing the work of the Lord and so forth. But at the end, unfortunately, it said Demas went and loved this present world. Well, what is in this present world? Well, the deceitfulness of riches and so forth. And so Jesus illustrated this same thing in his parable of the sower. We talked about the parable, the seed that fell in different places. This one that fell among thorns, you know, were the ones that, well, they started out well, but the cares of life or whatever choked the word of faith, the life of faith, out of their lives, and they did not end well. So, you know, whereas Demas began well, it did not end well. And so that's a lesson, you know, that we need to, to learn. Demas was working with Paul as well as, Mark and Demas, they were both with Paul. They were doing the things. But unfortunately, towards the end, That was not the story for Demas. So the summary of our lesson today is this. Let us not be like Demas. Let us not be like Asa. Let us not be like Solomon. Let us not even be like Amaziah, who walked with the Lord, but yet not with a perfect heart. But let us follow on to the end. Praise the Lord. So that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that he spoke in Matthew 24 and 13, talking about the end. Remember that whole chapter, he was talking about, things that will happen. He was answering their questions. Jesus said, well, all these things will happen, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Not necessarily the person that started, but the one that endured to the end. May the Lord grant us the grace to endure to the end. We're going to pray. I am going to pray. This is today's lesson, that the journey that we have started out with the Lord will give us the grace, and we will embrace that grace to keep on that journey till the end. We must not falter. God gives us many guardrails to help keep us in place. This is the word of the Lord that keeps us in place. We must not allow our eyes to stray to the world. Demas, his heart went after the things of the world. At the end, maybe he kept saying, this whole gospel thing and denying myself and so on, maybe I should just do this and that. First John, we are told in chapter 2, powerful warnings, to be careful now how the things of the world can create a departure in our heart from the Lord. Say, love not the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Well, Demas, say, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So, after a while, he was thinking that he had regrets. He wanted to go back to the Lord, to the world. Wanted to pursue the things of the world. Well, and unfortunately, it didn't end well for him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen to this. If any man love the world, like Demas did, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world will pass away, the lust thereof along with it. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. And what is the will of God, little children? That even as we have begun in him, we must continue to the end. He was always telling them, little children, it is the last time. This time Paul was the aged, so call them little children. But, we must keep the faith steadfast until the end. And that's why Jesus was saying in Luke 18 and 8, been saying, hang in there, hold on, he will answer you. But, if he tarries long and you get discouraged when he finally shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? That's what Jesus was saying asking in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. The Lord will show up, individually in our situations, universally and globally for the church. This thing we've been talking about, the coming of the Lord, he will. But the question is, though, when he does show up, shall he find faith? will you still be at the point of faith? You might have started out with faith, but will you still be at the point of faith? So that's going to be our prayer today. Father, I pray, Lord, as we have seen these examples and the scriptures of those that started out well but didn't end well, I pray that that will not be our portion. All the people that came out of Egypt rejoicing, headed for the promised land, majority of them perished and were destroyed of the destroyer in the wilderness because they did not sanctify the word of God and did not keep their faith steadfast till the end. I pray, Lord, that you will help us not to fall after the same pattern of unbelief and not to, go after the Bible say their hearts went a-whoring after evil things, even in the wilderness. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will not go after evil things. Let our hearts be stayed on the Lord. And Father, as we hear these words daily reminding us, give us the grace, Lord, and help us to embrace that grace, to stand steadfast no matter what. Praise the Lord. Even as Peter said, where shall we go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. There's no other place to go. We turn to the left or turn to the right. Where will we go? Pray, Lord, that we also will be sold out in our decision for the Lord. Never to look back. Luke 17:32, he said, remember Lot's wife. She looked back and it didn't end well for her. And these things Jesus warned us about even in Luke 9:62. He said the ending for a person that started out but then turned back, the ending is they will lose their place in the kingdom. This is how Jesus said it. No man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So help us, Lord. Eyes on the prize. Hands on the plow. Pushing forward in faith. Pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to look back, not to draw back unto perdition, but to continue steadfast in the faith until the end. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and strengthen you even in these things. Remember that he that called you, he is faithful. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Not only will he start a journey with you, he'll be there with you to the end. I will never leave you physically, nor forsake you emotionally. I will always be there, staying with you. But we must also stay with him. Father, we pray, grant us this grace every hour to remain faithful, because we don't know which hour the Lord comes. We can't say, okay, well, I'll repent later. Well, maybe too late. Or someday, let him that is holy be holy still. God will draw that line in the sand and it's over. No more repentance. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Wherefore, if you hear his voice today, harden not your hearts. But let's turn to the Lord with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.